Just in Colossians 1, Paul's prayer for the saints in verse 9 was, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the full knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the true knowledge of God." It's really wonderful that Paul's desire was to pray for the saints, that they would have an understanding of his will in order that they might live in the good of it. Hmm. And so one thing we can't have is an understanding of the will of God, the will of the Father, without reading the Word of God.
Hmm.
So we have to be spending time in his Word, allowing the Holy Spirit to impress the truth on us in order that that might be able to be lived and walked out in fruitfulness for his glory. And so that all is in connection with this. And that's how we should pray for one another.
Mm.
You know, we don't just pray for one another. If someone's got an injured arm or had a surgery, we do need to pray for those needs. But we should be praying that the reality of the truth that we have been given would be lived out in you, brother. And you should be praying for me that it would be lived out in my life. I think if we had more of that passion in our prayer, we would see more of the reality of living in the value of this, in this millennial way in our lives.
You quoted the verse in, excuse me, were you finished?
Yes,
yeah.
He's finished. John was.
You quoted the verse in Colossians, walking worthy of the Lord. We earlier had the passage in Ephesians, walking worthy of the calling we're called. The Thessalonians brings the same thought, but in, notice in chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians, and Paul is writing there, verse 11, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And I think here we have the thought in Thessalonians, you know, every chapter brings before us the coming of the Lord in different aspects. And it also is very definitely, it's not only, in fact, most of the passages are not in reference to the rapture, which is chapter 4. But take, for example, the end of chapter 3, in where we are here in Thessalonians. And he says, and the Lord, the last two verses there, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do towards you, to the end that he might establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." So there it's already his coming to establish his rights here on the earth. In view of that day, there will be a day coming of reckoning, though I shouldn't maybe put it in reckoning, but where we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, before he comes with his saints here in this world, where we will get a right picture, we will get a right, a correct appraisal of all that we've done in these bodies. We will be there perfect before him. We'll be changed into his likeness, into his image. That's how we'll be. According to the greatness of his grace, the work that he has accomplished, he brings us there, holy and without spot, before him in love. But then he takes us, such as we are, and he shows us what was pleasing to him, what is for his, which exalted his name. And that, what exalted him, that will be put to our credit, and he's the one that worked it in us. He will give rewards for that. We'll recognize, we cast our crowns at his feet in that day. But the thing is, it's in view of that day. And he would have us keep that in mind today as I'm walking here. Tomorrow, I might be brought there. I'll be standing before him. He judges all things rightly. He knows the motives. We often say we can't tell each other's motives, but the Word of God, you know, makes it clear because it's sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder between bone and marrow, and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. See, those are the motives. And the Word of God can set them apart if we are ready to bow to the Word. And so here, I thought this is so apropos for us, walking worthy of God who has called us unto His kingdom and glory. What a joy it must be for the Father's heart to anticipate and look forward to a day where everything will be according to His divine design, where His blessed Son will have the supreme center of it all, and all because of what He has wrought. And we ourselves will be there, as it were, the trophies of His grace. And so here, to look forward to a day, was reading here just in Psalms or in Isaiah. Don't need to turn to there. But I clothe the heavens with blackness, he says, and goes on to speak about his power. And then he's the one that openeth my ear. Morning by morning, he openeth mine ear as the learned. The Lord Jesus, as the creator who could command and it stood fast, he takes the place here, morning by morning, to open his ear, to hear a word from the Father before he moved forward to do his will. That is obedience. That is what glorifies the Father. And that is what he's looking for. God's standard. He couldn't lower it. That's his standard. We know we don't reach it, but that's what we aim for. That's what we're working for, by the Spirit of God working in us.
Want to move on. So we have thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then we get the part that we often spend a lot of time on is need. And it's very interesting the phrase that the Lord uses here. Give us day by day our daily bread. Obviously this is an allusion to what is needful for sustenance, what is needful to get by, what is needful to address what it means to live here on earth, what needs are in focus. But there's something that comes out I think is very interesting that really emphasizes the whole idea of this intimacy that we've been talking about, this communion that we're talking about, is that the Lord in this instruction says it's day by day. He doesn't say, you know, to pray for next week or to have a stock up of stuff that's going to last you for a month. You know, it's not going on a retreat and, you know, filling up and then you run out. No, it's a day by day dependence, a day by day acknowledging that you are my Father. You know what I have need of just for today. What is needful for today? It's a whole different perspective. Very often we're emphasizing the need, but here the emphasis is on you give us what we need for today. It may not be in line with what I think I need for today, but it's really putting God in His place as sovereign, as a loving Father who will supply what is needful moment by moment. In the lesson in Matthew, it says, take no thought of tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. And so what it is this immediacy and dependency that goes from day to day. And I think it's a real challenge because sometimes we will, you know, pray up ourselves really well on Lord's Day or Monday night or whenever we have the prayer meeting and or whenever we feel the greatest pressure, and then we're very intense in prayer. But here it's day by day. I think that's a very valuable instruction.